Back now to Linda Moulton Howe in the middle of a very critical interview. Linda?
Hi. To set the scene again, it's the early 1960s at the Nevada test site. Glenn Pace is playing cards with physicist Otto Krauss and a man from the MJ-12 staff at the test site.
I asked that night, who was the MJ-12? And the guy explained to me why it was set up and how it was set up.
And you're talking at the card game?
Uh-huh.
And what did he say?
He said that Truman had set it up when he was president because of the UFOs and all the stuff from the 40s and the early 50s. And that they thought we might be attacked.
By extraterrestrials.
Right. And that in that situation, somebody, some group of people had to have control of the military and control of things of that nature in the United States that wouldn't have to get Congress approval or anything to do anything about it. So they elected 12 guys and was set up, and I guess they were
created by an executive order of Truman.
Yeah, and this is what the guy said. And then he said that they re-elect from their own. If one dies, the other 11 elect another one to take his place. But they don't answer to the president. They don't answer to Congress. They have their own budget. And they laugh. They were laughing about that. Yeah, we got our own budget. It's a really deep budget. And kind of laughed about it.
Did Otto Krauss or the MJ-12 person say anything about the craft at ASA?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we talked about it. And he laughed, and that's when he told us about Roswell. He said, well, that's not the first one we got. The first ones we got, actually, he said, the first ones they got from the Ozark. And
Cape Girardeau in Missouri?
Huh?
Cape Girardeau.
He didn't say where it was. He just said from the Ozarks, and he said in the early 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard you guys mention that the other night. I'm going, that's what the hell he was talking about.
Right, Cape Girardeau, Missouri, 1941.
Yeah.
Well, what?
Whatever that is, I don't even know. But
well, what did Otto Krauss and the MJ-12 person say about that Missouri craft and the others?
Well, they evidently got something that was very enlightening to the whole, to the war and everything else out of the Madeira situation. Now, they didn't tell me what was in what they got or what it was all about. Actually, Otto said that the UFO wasn't classified. The only part of the UFO that was classified was the power source of it, and it was magnetic, and it generated magnetic energy, and that was the part that was classified, and it was more highly classified than the A-bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And they never would talk about that, and I asked him a couple of questions. I said, well, how do they fly this thing? And how do they fly it if it's magnetic? How do they make it go? And he said, well, I said, oh, I asked him, how do they go east to west? You know, because in my simple knowledge back then, you know, the magnetic lines, I knew they run north and south. I could see them going north and south. I couldn't understand how they go east to west. And he goes, well, it's in simple terms, he said, it's like what happens if you take a magnet and you reverse it and try to push it together? I said, it slips sideways. He said, it's the same principle.
Hmm.
And he said that they had, you know, something else he said that... It rang a bell to me when I heard Lazar talking the other night. He was talking about some substance that powered this craft that was in the collector or in the power source or whatever, and it was a number.
Element 115.
That's it. What is it?
Element 115.
Right. They referred to that element, and Otto said, we don't have the ability to make that at this point. And he said, well, they were talking between them. And I was just, we were playing cards, I was just listening. It didn't mean nothing to me. It was just stuff that was over my head. But I remembered that number. And he said that, you know, down the road, we'll be able to do it, but we can't do it right now. And, but they were talking about using some of the UFOs that they had got to spy on Russia. I said, what are you talking about? I thought we were spying on Russia with the U-2. And they both laughed and said, well, that's what Russia thinks.
Well, what do Donald Cross and the MJ-12 person say specifically about the what they knew about the origin of the craft and the beings that
they
were...
said it come from a mothership.
And the implication to you was what?
Well, that this craft could not go interplanetary. It had to travel where there was a magnetic energy source.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it couldn't travel from planet to planet or galaxy to galaxy or something like that, because it had to have a certain magnetic energy field or something to operate with.
Now, what do you specifically know about extraterrestrial beings at the test site working perhaps with us?
I know what the guy said on the show that was working out there, and I know that the live aliens that we got from the Roswell area, it wasn't right in the Roswell thing, but it was one of those crashes that they had taken on the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base after that. And then after Area 51 was developed, they took them there. It took him or them to Area 51.
Mm-hmm.
And they had them out there, and Otto had not seen the alien. The other guy had. And he said, we've learned to communicate with it, and I'm working in exchange of technology. So not interfering with them and letting him contact his people and letting them go and come from Area 51. And that's why they wanted control of Area 51 for so long, where there was no public land left that anybody could see into Area 51 with. That's why they fought so hard, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from talking to Glenn Campbell, which he tried to save that Freedom Ridge, which he didn't succeed.
Mm-hmm.
But
the MJ-12 guy, did he talk about the specific description of the alien type that we were working on an exchange of technology information with?
The alien type?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
Physical description?
Generally, you know, what everybody's depicted about them. You know, that they're, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 foot high. Their arms are longer in proportion than ours are, you know, and the skin was more of a, he didn't call it gray, but he called it a pale color, you know.
And the eyes?
And that they had the bigger eyes and that type of stuff.
Little
nose and not any, you know, the ears were more, they didn't stick out like ours. They were like little holes on the side of their head.
Anything about the number of fingers on the hands or the toes?
No, we didn't talk about that.
Did you ever see a photograph of any of these beings? Did you ever see an actual craft?
I've seen the craft, yeah.
And you saw the craft in the air?
Yeah.
Did you ever see any craft on the ground or up close?
No. No, because every time we went to Area 51 or those areas, they took us in vans with no windows. And when you got there, you were inside a building, and you got out, and you went and did what the hell you went there for, and they put you back in there, and you left like that.
Mm-hmm. And
the way I saw them was through the binoculars from the areas that I could observe that area.
And were they coming from underground up when they flew?
No, they were just out on the, they were out on the ground, and then they would maneuver.
Would they just rise straight up from the ground?
Well, they can. They can be out of sight in about 3 seconds going straight up.
And was your impression that what was flying them in the inside were extraterrestrials?
I didn't know.
It's amazing.
What an interview, yeah.
Very few people knew anything about a 1941 disc retrieval in the Ozarks. And in the newly released documents that we've talked about with Bob and Ryan Wood, in what is called the MJ-12 White Hot Intelligence Assessment, dated September 19, 1947, it says, quote, based on all available evidence collected from recovered exhibits currently under study, and it names approximately 10 or 12 different organizations studying the craft, these are deemed extraterrestrial in nature. This conclusion was reached as a result of comparisons of artifacts from the Missouri discovery in 1941. The technology is outside the scope of United States science, even that of German rocket and aircraft development. And on the next page it says, even the recovery case of 1941 did not create a unified intelligence effort to exploit possible technological gains, with the exception of the Manhattan Project, which was the project to develop the atomic bomb. We now have an opportunity to extend our technology beyond the threshold that we have achieved. Aside from technological gains, we face an even greater challenge, that of learning the intent of such a presence. There are questions that remain unanswered, such as, what forces face us? What kind of defense do we have? Where do they come from? And what kind of weapons do they possess? And that is 1947 questions and thinking based on the 1941 craft that they were comparing to several vehicles retrieved from New Mexico from 1947 on. And I think here for the first time is a man who was there in the Aztec Farmington area when all of those craft flew over and knew from a newspaper that his own parents read to him that there was a craft retrieval by military forces in that area in 1952, and someone has worked very hard to keep everyone from knowing that the Aztec crash is real.
All right, Linda, we're woefully out of time. Remarkable report. I want more people to come forward. You do.
Yes.
How do they contact you?
Yes, my fax number is area code 215-491-9842. That's 215-491-9842, and if Rufus Lang Bond, spelled B-A-U-G-H-N, Rufus Lang Bond III is listening, or anyone who knows him, please contact me at my fax number, because this is another corroborator, and Glenn Pace would very much like to talk again with Rufus Bond if you're out there.
All right, I think we're closing in on it. Linda, thank you, and we will talk to you, if not before next Sunday, next Sunday.
Okay.
Thank you, and good night. It's been called